Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let me tell you about my best friend. She's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
I wonder what Matt Pajeski's... He's just an old soul in every way, from movies to music. He's an impressive friend in that way. And I saw this question, Ronj. Who is your most impressive friend? And it was crowdsourced, and people responded with, I thought, great examples of a best friend, or an impressive friend. Here's one. My friend Bianca is my most impressive friend. She caught about 15 mice living in her apartment in the last few weeks. She then walks them down to a nearby park and uses chopsticks and oil to set them free.
Chopsticks and oil?
What's the oil for? I thought maybe the chopsticks, she was prodding them out, you know, like, cuckoo. What's the oil for?
What?
I don't know. Also, my best friend Talia has a stomach of steel. She can put down 3 White Claws and 4 hot dogs for dinner. No questions asked.
Wait, these are your friends?
No, these
this
are
This is
the
an example of
them.
Yeah. Okay, crowdsourced.
Yes. So those are the crowdsourced. So I thought that was pretty impressive. So I started thinking, okay, who are my most impressive friends? And what I like is that what makes them most impressive is not just, oh, they built a company and did really well. It's just like unique things. Do you guys have any most impressive friends?
I do.
Yes.
And I have to first off say that the White Claw one, I'm not impressed by.
3 White Claws and 4 hot dogs. I couldn't do that. I'd be so sick.
That's not that. Yeah.
You have 4 hot dogs? No.
That's not that big of a deal.
There's no way.
That's
I could
nothing.
Do that.
How many White Claws?
3 White Claws and 4 hot dogs.
And doesn't get stomach issues?
No, it's just her dinner. It's a normal dinner. Doesn't get stomach
if it's every
issues.
Day, that's pretty gross. And I guess impressive. But if it's like a one time feed, it's not that impressive.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
I've got a group of friends who I met through a recording studio internship. They're in a band, and at the time, the band was called Bleach. And they just put out great music, and I'm always impressed by their songs. And they've played pretty much every venue in St. Louis.
Yeah.
The Duck Room underneath Blueberry Hill, Off-Broadway, Old Rock House, and the biggest one was the Pageant. So, I mean, I cannot imagine what it's like to play the Pageant, play at some of these famous St. Louis venues, and play in front of a huge crowd of people, and I'm just always blown away by the musicianship and the songwriting, and it's weird to think that they're, you know, my best friends too.
Yeah.
But to be a fan of the music and to be friends with them is really special. So I'm always impressed by the music they put out.
That's pretty good. You've never played at the Pageant, Ron.
I've never played at the Pageant.
No.
I've been there.
So have I.
Hey. And I've been to Del Mar Hall.
Ooh, impressive. He's been, Ronj is my most impressive friend. He's been to so many places.
I have
lots
of places.
I bet you guys both know, and our listeners all know, who is my most impressive friend.
Noah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you talk about her all the time.
Yes. Noah, let me just throw out a few things here. In addition to being in the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, during the time that Saddam Hussein was threatening biological warfare, yes, she was there fighting at that time. She was also the Israeli record holder in the 800. She held the record in the indoor mile. And she's like, well, it's a small country. I'm not the fastest person in Clayton. I'm not even the fastest person in my neighborhood. So she was a record holder. She was a pro runner that ran all the races in the European circuit. She was the karate champion, national karate champion. She knows how to use nunchucks.
How many White Claws can she drink?
Yeah.
Hot dogs.
And how many hot dogs?
That's the thing. She can do anything. She can, because I told her I was going to tell that she's my most impressive friend. And she said, did you tell them about the drinking? I was like, yes.
She puts it away, right?
She can put it away.
Good for her.
She can put away whether it's bourbon or Busch Light. And here's the thing. She can put it away to the point of no return, and then wake up the next morning, and she PR'd her 10K while massively hungover.
So PR means personal record.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For people who don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yes. Also, when I say she can do anything, I can't carve a chicken, you know, like take a raw chicken and carve it into the pieces. She can do One chicken every 2 minutes. She gets 20 chickens delivered. I'm not even joking.
20 chickens?
20 chickens. And then she can carve, done. And just carve all these raw chickens and then put them in bags and freeze them and make broth and stock. She is literally the most amazing woman I've ever met.
I think.
And she, per pound, because she weighs like 90 pounds.
I think the most impressive thing is that she hangs out with a wet blanket like you. She's so much fun.
She's so much fun.
Loves to party.
Oh my gosh.
And she brings you out.
And that's why her husband.
I think that's impressive.
That's why her husband likes when we hang out, because I am like going out with Sister Mary Clarence. And
yeah.
So I balance thing out. It's the yin and the yang. But she really can do anything. And like, I think per pound, she's the most impressive person I've ever met. Like, if you put feet per pound.
I have a friend who won a Cy Young Award.
Okay.
So.
Okay, name dropper.
Sorry, I didn't drop the name. I'm just telling you.
What
won
are the
a Cy
initials?
Young. JP. Also, I have a friend.
Jerry?
Yes, Jerry. I'll let you think about it. I also have a friend who has decided that she's going to take care of a bunch of alley cats.
That's
so impressive. If you open up her back door at any given time, there are at least 14 cats out there.
Wow.
And now some raccoons have joined the mix. So she is feeding close to 20 animals every day outside her back door. 14 cats, multiple raccoons, and there's something else too.
Impressive is one word.
It is
that
impressive.
Some people may choose for
also
that.
Nuts.
Nuts was what I was going
it
with.
It could be both though.
Rabid.
And here's what's really funny.
Wait, what state does she live in?
Illinois. And she says that she will meet people in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And they'll say, "Oh, where do you live?" She's like, "Oh, I live in the cat house." They're like, "Oh, we know that place."
That's kind of a
because
nuisance
it's,
though. It could be a public
that's
safety
what I said.
Hazard.
That's
you don't
what I
want
said.
Raccoons.
Well, no, she had them all. She took care of. She had them all like neutered or
oh
spayed or whatever you do with cats.
I think it depends on if they're a boy or girl.
And then she so that she had them spayed and or neutered and then threw them back outside.
They're like, thanks.
Why do I hurt?
Yeah.
And you just threw me back out here.
Oh, that's sad. Okay, well, I have an impressive friend. His name is Jason. He claims, and I believe him, that he has never had acid reflux or indigestion. He's like 45.
That's just
he's never had acid indigestion.
He just doesn't know what it is when he's had it.
No, because anyone, even a 10-year-old will be like, oh, what's this feeling? Or like my heart or my throat or my
stomach. So he's never had an upset stomach ever.
He's felt nauseated because carsick is very different than acid reflux or acid indigestion. He has had nausea, but he's never had, he can drink Tabasco sauce and spicy wings and alcohol and not feel anything.
I think your friend's a liar.
Sounds like Kevin Wheeler.
I think he's lying.
No, Wheels has a lot of acid in his
No, Wheels has.
He is nothing but a giant acid reflux.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about with him is I don't get anxious. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You have to at some point in your life get anxiety.
Also.
Everybody does.
I have an impressive friend who is 7 years
old.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's basically Jason Bourne.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
I don't think you can have friends
who
are 7.
Well, it's my friend's kid.
But it's not your friend.
It's not my friend. So it's my friend's kid.
Okay.
She has 4 passports. Like Jason Bourne.
Why does she have 4 passports?
Because of like where her mom is like Venezuelan, but lived in Spain. And because she was born to her mom, she can have a Spanish passport and a Venezuelan passport, but their citizenship is in Switzerland, so she has that. But
okay.
She was born here, so she has an American passport.
Well, the kid had nothing to do with it.
Okay, yeah, that kid, without trying, by the time she was 1 year old, had 4 passports.
Yeah, without trying. She didn't do it.
Still impressive.
Her parents did it for her.
Oh, well, your Cy Young friend, he didn't pray for that arm. He just got it.
That makes no sense.
You could try as hard as you wanted. You could work every day for your whole life. You would never win a Cy Young Award.
That's not the...
Some of it is not what you're born with.
Is this
you're
Jake
saying
Peavy,
that,
by the way?
Huh?
What?
Is this Jake Peavy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good dude. Really good dude.
How
calls
do you
everybody
know him?
Bubba. Huh?
How do you know Jake?
White Sox. So I met him there.
Are you friends?
Yeah.
Have you been to his Christmas party?
He didn't have Christmas
party.
Would he
say he
wasn't
friends with you?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think you're friends with someone until you are invited to a Christmas party. That's
always been my
standard.
He used to have a compound in Alabama. It was like an actual compound. He did this whole weekend. He would hire a band to come out, and you'd do, I don't know, probably hunting and stuff. I didn't go, but I got invited.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's almost a friend,
Southern Falls, Alabama. That's what it was called.
Wow.
He sold it.
Yeah.
He has a duck boat.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because
when he was with the Red Sox, they won a World Series there, and they do their parade with duck boats, and he bought the duck boat he was in.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't really want a duck boat.
You'd have to have the property for it. You'd have to have water.
I think no matter how much property I have, I don't think I'd buy a duck boat.
I bet you would if you had a big pond.
I like pontoon boats.
I do love a good pontoon boat.
Are pontoon boats awesome? Nobody talks about pontoon boats. They're like, oh, that speedboat
is
100 feet long.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, it's 60 feet long. You know what I want? I want a good old pontoon boat. That's a good time.
The reason people don't talk about it is because a pontoon boat looks nerdy as hell.
It's not
but it
sexy.
Is by far the most fun.
It's the most fun. You can jump off the top. You get shade if you need it. And you don't have to do all the fancy upkeep. Oh, my boat, I'm going to a 37-foot boat.
You can set up a card table and put things on it.
I know! A pontoon boat is so much fun.
I love pontoon boats.
And if I lived on the ocean, I would want a catamaran, which is the pontoon of the sea.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Tell us about your most impressive friend. We want to hear all about it. Leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. You should have downloaded it by now. If you haven't, what's wrong with you? Or you can text us at 314-436-7900. It's Chris and Amy on KMOA.
So, who is your most impressive friend? Ranj has his cat lady friend.
Which?
Who feeds 14 cats plus other various species.
At least a couple of raccoons.
Yeah. You know that can backfire. Big time. Did you hear about that lady that... She would feed the raccoons, and the raccoons told other raccoons until she had 100 raccoons surrounding her house. They had to evacuate her.
I've been telling her.
Yeah.
She's not listening to me.
And isn't, like, the number one rule, don't feed the animals?
It absolutely is. And she's still doing it.
Wow.
Which I think is impressive that she's not listening to reason. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. And then, of course...
How could you not be listening to this? How could you not listen to reason on this?
Does she kind of want something to happen?
I don't think so.
You don't think she wants to be in the news as that lady?
No. No. She's got too good of a job.
Did you date this lady? A little?
I mean, years ago.
Did the cats drive you away?
There were no cats back then.
Are the cats her rebound?
Well, no.
She swore off men
after
you?
Actually, I think for a minute she did, but we're so far past that.
Maybe the raccoons and cats remind her of you.
That's possible. I better feed these cats.
Needy, dodgy, never know when they're going to be around.
Yes. Nailed it. So, Amy.
Yes.
You have a game for me?
I do. While we're waiting for our listeners to also text in about their most impressive friends...
We do have a texter who said, in response to the pontoon boat, requesting that we call it a party barge, because that's the cooler thing to call it.
Yeah, I think that's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We both have heard this before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, speaking of hearing this before, again, you can always call us or text in 314-436-7900. Does this music sound familiar to you? Ladies and gentlemen, if you know what this is, text in. What about another selection, Matt? Selection number three. Oh, this is it. This is my jam.
Are these all from the same thing?
Yep.
Huh. I have no idea.
Should I give the answer or should we give someone the chance, the opportunity to text in?
Let's start there.
Okay.
Let's give somebody we'll give about a minute or two. If you know what that's from, let us know, 314-436-7900, and text us. I'm not really sure what this is.
It is a blast from the past, I can tell you that.
I mean, it does sound familiar. I feel like I've heard it.
Yeah.
It feels like waiting music is what it feels like.
Yeah, it's not waiting music. All right. So again,
but is it a thing that exists still?
No, it does not exist still.
It doesn't.
Yes. It does not.
Huh.
Okay.
I mean, it's smooth jazz. Smooth jazz exists, but I mean the thing through which you would listen to this.
Does not exist. Okay. Yeah. All right.
At any rate, so that's our question.
I'm going to think
you,
about it and
most
let us know.
Impressive friends. While we're on the topic of friends, I did want to bring this up. So I saw on social media, someone is doing, or not social media, I think it was Good Morning America. Someone is doing a no buy 2025. And what they mean by that is they're going to try to not make any ancillary purchases for the entire year. So no shoes, no makeup, no clothes, no decor, nothing extra. Of course, you're going to buy food. And of course, you'll buy cleaning supplies. But basically, you're only buying the necessities and you're not buying anything fun. You're not treating yourself for an entire year.
Is makeup considered treating yourself? I feel like it's part of a routine for
people. Well, she wasn't going to buy it until she used what she had.
Okay.
Because you do think, oh, I bought this blush. Oh, maybe I'll buy this new color.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll buy this new color of lipstick.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's using what she has. And a year seemed like a long time, but I actually have friends who are doing a no-buy January.
That I could do.
Yeah.
I think 1 month I could definitely do that, but I don't know about a full year.
Yeah. But
12 months is a long time.
And I was wondering if anyone else was doing a no-buy January. Because
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, a no-buy, I've heard of a no-trash year. That was really big, like people trying to be clean and you can't make any trash, which also sounds almost impossible. But the no-buy January, just, you know, the parents and the kids were like, listen, you're getting through the holiday season. You're getting through Christmas. Can you close the wallet, only buy bare necessities? Which I will do. I will say this. I treat myself a lot more now than I used to, in the sense of like, oh, I'll just buy this top. Oh, I'll just buy this. I think if I go bankrupt, it will be $20 at a time. You know, I really think so. I'm not buying.
It's always in slow drips.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not buying a $1,000 purchase. I don't make purchases like that. What I do is I accidentally drop $20 at Target or $50 at Target. And you're like, man.
Let's take a quick call. Yeah. Belleville, Jim with us on KMOX. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Just calling about, you know, a special friend you were talking about. This gentleman is a good friend of mine. He was the backup quarter to Joe Montana when he played for Notre Dame. And then he went on to be the backup quarter for Jim Hart for the football Cardinals and did play several games for them, which I think is pretty impressive. He's a great athlete in just about anything he does. And his name, I guess I can give that, can't I?
Well, yeah, we could find it out, but go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, let's hear it.
His name is Rusty Lish, and he lives in Belleville, and a super guy, a great family man, and just a good person.
That's a pretty great friend.
That's awesome. Thank
that's
you
a,
for
that's
calling.
That's a good one. Thank you, Jim. I like that one.
I love that. And we have a comment on our YouTube channel. The guest,
well,
Matt, will you go? Oh, yes.
We also have a texter who got it, too.
Okay.
Are you talking about the music?
Play the music, and Ronge and I on the count of three will say it. 3, 2, 1. The
Weather Channel. Yeah. Texter got it right. A commenter on YouTube has also gotten it correct. This is Weather Channel music when they used to show the local forecast.
My papa used to watch this in his den.
I did not know that. Somebody else guessed it was Dillard's.
Oh, I love Dillard's.
What?
It does kind of sound like department store shopping. That's a great guess.
In terms of an impressive friend from a 636, I knew a guy who married the same woman 3 times.
Whoa! That's awesome.
That is super.
That's really impressive.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
My impressive friend, one of them is Chris Ranji, because he was asked to officiate 4 weddings, and 3 of the 4 never made it down the aisle.
Well, one did, and there's another one coming up.
Whoa!
Taking bets on this one.
The longest, toughest postseason climb in the history of the sport. And after all that, it's Ohio State together at the mountaintop, champions of college football.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Well, they did it. The Ohio State Buckeyes from the Ohio State University are national champions in college football, beating Notre Dame last night. I was bandwagoning the Irish, and it didn't work out for me. Time to go to the guest line this afternoon. Usually we talk to Bernie Miklas on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we had to adjust. Bernie had some things he had to take care of, so in his place today, our normal Monday visitor and Wednesday visitor, who couldn't be with us yesterday because we had the inauguration, it's Matt Pauley who is joining us today. What's up, Matthew?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're great. How about that game last night? Is that about what you expected?
I thought Ohio State would win. I thought there was a chance that Notre Dame could keep it a little bit closer, but you look at those second and third quarters for sure where Ohio State just really took control of the game. So maybe I was a little bit surprised that Ohio State won by 11, but basically the game went the way I kind of expected it to.
Matt, I know it's your job to watch sports, but it's a little bit different, right? Because it's not like we had a home team in the game. Do you look forward to the college national championship game? Is it something that you feel is better than it was now that they have the playoff? Not as good as it was now that they have the playoff?
I thought it was fine. It's the national championship game for college football. That's the my enjoyment of last night's game was not impacted by the fact that it was the final game of a 12-game playoff. I think once you get to that point, the national championship game, however, whether we go back to the old BCS where it's just 2 teams are chosen or whether it's a 12-team playoff, whichever it is, you're going to get fired up about a national championship game.
I know it's totally different than March Madness, but I don't normally follow college sports other than local teams, but I love March Madness, and I get excited about March Madness in a way that's different than the football playoff, even though I like the football playoff format better than the selection committee the way it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different because of the way the sports are different, when the games are held are different, you know, things like that. I get that. And look, there are some tweaks that they need to do, and we're already hearing folks say, well, you may not be able to change anything for 2025. You might have to wait till 2026. Like, go do the easy stuff. Get this to be a true bracket. Get the seeds correct, things like that. It's not an event like March Madness. There's a lot more time between games. You're going about a week and a half between each round. So I avoid that comparison just because I think they're very different things.
So winter warm-up came and went, wrapped up yesterday afternoon. And, we got to hear from various players who were on KMOX throughout the weekend. And, yesterday as well, yesterday morning. But also we got to hear a little bit from Bill DeWitt, who was on the stage for sort of a Q&A. He was up there with Chip Carey and Bill DeWitt III. So what are your takeaways, Matt, from the comments he made, what he had to say?
Yeah, you know, I think I thought it was interesting that, and this involves what John Mozeliak said as well, but it's all kind of connected to each other. I thought it was interesting that there's not this necessity to do something else if they don't trade Nolan Arenado. We had been kind of going under the, I don't know if it's an assumption or a presumption or just previous information, whatever it might be, we'd been kind of believing that, well, if they don't get this Arenado thing done, they're going to have to go do some other stuff to get payroll down. So the fact that we're not hearing that was important. I also thought that they talked openly about the fact that they were asked specifically about payroll and spending money, and hey, you know what, aren't you comfortable with where you're at with the team as long as you're continuing to increase value of the team? Because as a team owner, that's where you make money. You buy the team for one amount of money, and then you sell it for another amount of money, and hopefully it has grown exponentially, which the Cardinals, their value has very much grown since the DeWitts took over. I thought it was interesting that the DeWitts essentially said that, you know, they don't really look at it that way, that they are in this for the long haul, that there's no intention of leaving. So yeah, when they are making some financial decisions, they are looking at it kind of on a year-to-year basis and not looking at it as, hey, you know what, we can lose this money because next year we're going to sell it and we're going to make a couple billion dollars.
Yeah, Bill DeWitt Jr. said, quote, "You have big markets that are just going to do what they do, and we're not in a position to compete at that kind of level of payroll. There's a time to do it and a time to build. We're trying to balance that so we have the opportunity to have competitive teams every year." And then he said, "The best way to build a championship club, in my view, is to have good players coming through the system."
I think that's right. I don't think he said anything there that's incorrect. I mean, there's frustration sometimes when the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and teams like that can sit there and spend as much money as they want to spend, and the Cardinals are not totally in that shit. And I'm not saying the Cardinals can't spend more. I think they can't. They're in a spot where they probably could spend more if they wanted to, but I don't think they're never going to spend like the Dodgers. They're never going to spend like those other teams that I mentioned. You know what's amazing, though, and Ron, you'll relate to this. It was on 670 Score the other day. Tom Ricketts is like, "Oh, we just try to break even every day." The Cubs are a team that spends the least percentage of their revenue on payroll every year, and we're hearing Ricketts say that in Chicago. So there's, you look at comments like that, and you compare what Ricketts said to what DeWitt said, and it's kind of remarkable that in large part they kind of said the same thing, despite the fact that Chicago is in such a better revenue position than the Cardinals are.
Dude, I feel bad for people who are, I know it's weird to say, bad for people who are Cubs fans, because to hear your owner say that when they have that ballpark that's sold out every day, they own all of that real estate around the ballpark, and they're the third largest market in the country, and he's talking like that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I would be pissed if that were my team. Just to hear an owner say that, like, "Well, you know, what do you want us to do?" L.A. is the second biggest market. They're the third biggest market. There's no reason they can't spend. It's good for the Cardinals, though.
All those updates they did to Wrigley, right? To make it a state-of-the-art facility.
Yes. That's just a wild thing for him to say. And, I think Bill DeWitt is right when he says you have to build from the ground up, or you have to have good foundational pieces that come through the system. The Dodgers have done that too. That's why they are so successful, because they do that part of it, but then they also go get the free agent when the free agent is available, or they make the big trade.
So, if he's saying, which I believe, right, he's always been a draft and develop guy, does it add even more question marks then to how we let our development program fall to pieces?
Yes. This is how the Cardinals historically win at the highest level, by producing high-end talent out of the minor leagues, and they lost their way. They 100% lost their way in recent years, and they're trying to get back to where they had previously been. And you know what? Once they get back to a point where I feel bad always bringing up Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, because it's almost like they have become the poster childs of everything that's wrong with the Cardinals. But you can't make those kind of signings when you're talking about your number three and number four starters. You can't go spend $25 million between those two guys. Those have to be players that you are developing from your own system. And then by not spending that money, you're able to make a much bigger splash in free agency and go sign all-star caliber players. Unless it is low contract, kind of filling out the back end of the roster sort of thing, like they'll probably do, maybe with a right-handed bat, maybe with a relief pitcher or two before the season gets started. Unless it's signings like those, when you're spending free agent money, you have to spend free agent money at a much bigger level than what the Cardinals have done recently. So that the way you do that is the vast majority of your roster is brought up through the system.
Yeah, so they're going to have to get better there, and I think I wonder, maybe it's just semantics here. I don't know if it's that they lost their way so much, is that the way that it was that they were doing it that was working for so long, other teams just bypassed them. They figured out better ways to do it. And
both things are true, Ron. Both things are true. They did lose their way because they started signing too many mid-level free agents, and they were no longer producing high-level talent out of the minor leagues. But to your point, yes, other teams got really good at what they were doing in player development.
They got complacent. And it was a, hey, we know what we're doing. Look at the results. Look at the evidence over the last 15 years or so. And yeah, that's true, but it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess I would look at it like if you're a doctor, all the information that you learned in medical school, well, there's constant research that happens. There are constant advancements, and doctors have to stay on top of the advancements. It's not just the things they learned when they were in med school. They have to constantly be reading the journals and knowing what's coming. And the Cardinals didn't really do that kind of thing. They just stuck with what had always worked for them, and we saw the end result. It just stopped working. I wanted to ask you about Wilson Contreras as well, because he, I don't know, we were talking about him yesterday. Just, that's as good of a teammate, I think, as you could possibly want, who's willing to do whatever it takes. They're going to move him to a new position. He's going to play first base. And there was a question yesterday, he was talking about, and maybe you were there, Matt, I'm not sure, where he was asked if he, or maybe it was alluded to, that he could go somewhere else, you know, request a trade if you want to move me and I could go play catcher somewhere else. And he said, I want the challenge. Basically, if that's what the team wants me to do, I want to stay here.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was on Caravan the last couple of days, so I didn't see him.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I read his comments, and I thought it was interesting that he did say that he's not going to take the easy way out, and the easy way out would be requesting a trade, because all those guys with the no trade clauses were presented with the opportunity. Hey, if a trade presents itself, would you be okay leaving St. Louis? And Wilson said no. So what does that look like? That looks like him becoming a first baseman, trying to stay healthy, opening up the door for those young catchers to get some time. So, yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
How was the caravan, Matt?
It was good. So we hit four cities in 2 days. Yesterday, we had a unique situation. Our bus broke down in Paducah.
Oh, man.
And I got to tell you, the staff members with the Cardinals are so amazing in the things that they do. Our group that was there, man, both back in St. Louis doing some things, and then the people who were with us, within, you know, the bus breaks down, and within a couple hours, we've got multiple rental cars, and we're hopping back in, and we didn't miss it. We were a little bit late for Cape Girardeau, but we weren't too terribly late for Cape Girardeau. The players that I was with, the alumni that I was with, none of them complained, none of them grumbled about the situation. So yeah, we had a bus go down in the middle of our caravan, but we rented a whole bunch of cars, and we made the drive from Paducah to Cape Girardeau, and then from Cape Girardeau back to St. Louis last night.
Did your bus have a bathroom?
It did.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to use it, though, right? We used to go on hockey trips. My
not
hockey
supposed
team.
To use it.
Yeah, like I think you're only
well,
supposed
why do you
to
think it's
go
there?
Number one. You're not supposed to go number two.
There's a sign in the bathroom that says no solid waste, so I would assume that's making reference to number two.
Why have a bathroom if you're not going to be able to use it?
So we got lucky, Matt, on our hockey team, because you'd think, oh, a bus of 20 girls, you know, did you have to stop? No, actually, we didn't. It was our male head coach who had to stop every 2 hours because, thankfully, he was a smoker, which was awesome because it gave us plenty of time to use bathroom breaks because he would have to stop every couple hours to smoke. So that made it easy. You were never too far away from a bathroom break.
Okay. I don't know how we got to here. But
does anyone smoke on your caravan?
There were no smokers that I was aware of on my caravan. So it's fun. You know, my group was Thomas Sejacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, Sim Robersa, Al Roboski, and Kerry Robinson. It was a really good group. We had a lot of fun over the last couple of days.
Sports Open Line tonight, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 to 8. We'll go kind of... I wasn't on Sports Open Line yesterday because of the caravan, so this is my first opportunity to hop on post-winter warm-up / caravan, so we'll kind of go through a lot of the narratives that came out over the last few days.
Thanks, buddy.
That's awesome.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Glad you made
right,
it back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Broken down bus isn't...
I feel like buses break
good.
Down frequently.
Well, at least it wasn't like a mega bus. Those things used to crash all the time.
What? Well, you know, every time we talk about the St. Louis County Council, there's a lot of drama. A lot of drama at the St. Louis County Council.
Boy, do I love council talk.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Well, you're going to like this because this is former council talk. Yeah. So don't worry. It doesn't have anything to do with Sam Page, although it was a former council member who was an ally of his. People in St. Louis might remember the name Kelly Dunaway. She was on the St. Louis County Council. She decided not to run for re-election after serving 5 years on the council. She now operates a website, Legal Witchcraft. She has a witchcraft business.
Really?
Really.
Is it here?
It's online, and she's here.
Oh.
So according...
It doesn't have a storefront?
I don't think it has a storefront. No, it's a website. So according to the company's motto, it is, quote, "Our purpose is to help you reclaim your power." She also says that in describing her transition from county council to the witchcraft business, Dunaway, who is a lawyer, says, "I am powerful, wise, and a little bit wild." So there are tarot card readings and manifestations, and she can also help you write a personal spell and create boxes of magic. I don't know what that means. And there are no prices on the site, so I don't know how much a box of magic will cost you. Apparently, and this is according to...
Hey, excuse me, how much is a box of magic?
A big box or a little box?
I don't believe in tarot cards.
Yeah, well, and so Joe Holloman for the Post-Dispatch was writing about it, and according to him, she was on the short list of...
Yes.
I think it's she, because he mentions three women, and I think he's talking about Dunaway, that she was on the short list of the Anti-Homicide Initiative, but maybe that was the person who took her seat. I actually have read this paragraph three times, and I don't know who he's talking about. I think maybe don't do the Anti-Homicide Initiative if she's doing witchcraft. Apparently, she is still a lawyer, which also feels like...
There's something that prevents you from being a lawyer if you like witchcraft.
I don't think you should be a witch in court.
Why not?
You don't have to cast a spell on the judge.
You don't have to do witch stuff in court.
But how can you prove you're not like woogly woogly woogly?
No, you can't do that in court.
How do you know?
Because there'll be contempt. You'll be in contempt.
Not if no one knows.
If you're casting spells on the judge, you're in contempt of court.
Listen, I've seen the show Bewitched, and Samantha could go like twinkle her nose.
That's not how.
I'm just saying, and she could cast a spell. So how do you know that she's not in court? She looks at the jury, and now, granted, I don't know if she's a trial lawyer.
Does she bring a cauldron into the courtroom and stir things? I don't see. Let me tell you something about tarot cards.
Let me guess. You had a girlfriend who wanted to do this with you.
No, I've never had. No. Well, okay. So I had a nice friend that I met in New Orleans one year.
Okay.
Okay. Hung out for a while. And we go through, I think it's Jackson Square. Is that where there's a little courtyard. I think it's called Jackson Square, right in the French Quarter. And there are all these like tarot card readers and all kinds of stuff like that. And she says, "Let's stop at one." So we stop, we sit down, and the woman does the cards and then gives us our fortunes. And she says, "You two are going to be together for a long time." I never saw this woman again. It was the last time I saw her. Never saw her after that weekend.
Well,
such a lie.
Well, was it relative? Oh, yeah, no. Because even a long time, that's not relative to you. A weekend is not a long time. I was thinking maybe it was 2 or 3 months. But if, go ahead, yes?
No, go ahead.
Oh, but this, I was thinking with Kelly Dunaway, like maybe, you know, since this former council member was was a witch, maybe there are other witches. How do we know there aren't other witches on this council? Instead of the St. Louis County.
There could be witches everywhere.
Instead of the St. Louis County Council, it's the St. Louis County Coven.
Speaking of women I used to date, this text message says, "I started feeding cats 15 years ago in my neighborhood when I moved here. I kept seeing deceased cats who were darting across the street looking for food.
Deceased?
They seem to live in vacant houses, and the property owners I speak with thank me and appreciate the cats because they're keeping mice away."
Wait, deceased cats?
Yes.
darting across the street.
Yes.
Deceased.
And this texter says that they now feed about 60 cats every afternoon.
That's too many cats.
And it's been incredibly difficult with the streets covered in ice. 60 cats is way too many.
What are the deceased cats?
What? They were getting hit by cars. When we come back, we will talk about TikTok, which was banned momentarily over the weekend. We'll find out what's happening next with that app. Ian Scher, CBS Tech Reporter, joins us next on KMOX.